We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Joaquin Altoro. Welcome to the show, Joaquin.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me here today.
I'm excited for this conversation. And I'm really interested in knowing, how did you get into the world of banking?
How did I get into the world of banking? You know, I am born and raised here in Milwaukee, MPS graduate. And I remember that I was introduced from going from my high school, Rufus King, to Marquette University. I had the opportunity to do some, when telemarketing was legal back in the early 90s, I had an opportunity to telemarket for a commercial lender, and I did so well with the telemarketing, he kind of flipped me and said, hey, you want to start doing some of these deals? And I said, yes. So started my whole process of becoming a banker. So I became a lender first and worked for kind of a broker shop. But then thereafter, eventually ended up working for a bank because banks have much more resource. And those that know me, I'm one of those guys that have a ridiculous passion for just economic development, the growth of Milwaukee, and the neighborhoods that are that surround our city. So I realized I had to work for a bank that had much more significant resource, whatever that is. And so now I work for Town Bank, and it's a local community bank that really has, a real specification or specification around community development, and it's been exciting to work for a bank like Town Bank.
Oh, sounds like it. So what kind of banker are you?
That's a good question, right? You know, we walk into a bank and we see those that are there, and we have the first line of folks that service us and help us. But then we see either the ladies or gents that are behind the desks, and they may have that title of being a banker, but really there's bankers that really help different folks for different opportunities. And my official title, as you mentioned, is Vice President of Business Banking. And the type of banker I am is really to support business and commerce, businesses, for-profit and nonprofit. They need banks to provide the resources. And that may sound like something that is may not be exciting to most, but working for the bank that I work for, it's very exciting. We're very actively involved. I, as a banker and as a bank, we've been kind of getting well entrenched in communities and really trying to understand how do we get involved with improving and being a catalyst in the neighborhood. So let's make an example of that. We opened our first branch in Walker's Point neighborhood. You're located very close to Walker's Point. Walker's Point is known for, I think, first and foremost, food and beverage, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Is that a place you'd like to visit most for, you know, some lunches maybe, or maybe even afterwards in the evening for cocktails or beautiful dinners? However, there's also the fresh water, I think the attention to fresh water technologies. So we have the Reese Street Yards in that area. Also, we have a lot of makers, small business makers in our neighborhood. So the question is, as a bank, if you know that in the neighborhood you are in, that there's a lot of small businesses that are surrounding a particular initiative, the question is, as a bank, how can you be helpful to that? So we really think to make sure that we provide the right type of products. I am involved with the Walker's Point Association. So I'm the vice president of that organization, of the board, forgive me. And at that point, as a banker, as a community stakeholder, we're consistently thinking in Walker's Point also, how do we protect the diversity and the kitschiness of that neighborhood? There's always these conversations about people that move into Walker's Point and say, I ask them, why did you move to Walker's Point? And they're like, you know, I moved into Walker's Point. These are people that are recently transplanted into Walker's Point. I came into it because of the fact that it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
The diversity and the kitschiness of it. If I had the opportunity, I do have the ability to live in Third Ward. Not like there's anything wrong with Third Ward, but they were attracted to that.
Sure.
So it's been a lot of hard work trying to protect that. And what I'm trying to protect is kind of the affordability aspect of it, because you can see there's lots of condos, apartments, restaurants. It's becoming a hot area. And when it becomes a hot area, it becomes more difficult to afford space for the small businesses.
Sure. Yep, absolutely. So it seems like the answer to your question is really that you're an active community advocate banker.
Amen. I would say yes.
It took me a second to think about that, but it came to me. So someone who is extremely networked, these are assumptions that I'm making, but based on the list of the organizations you're involved in, and obviously this talk about the involvement in the community, I imagine you've got some really good stories to share. Can you share with us your most successful or favorite networking story that you have?
You know, there are a lot of them. And I knew this question would be coming, so I tried to think of maybe one specific instance that would kind of give direction to others that are trying to improve their ability, their abilities at networking. And as a banker, banks can't lend to everyone. Mm-hmm. So there are other sources out there in the world that lend to people that are unbankable. There are federal resources that lend to communities that may have higher poverty or are in need of, are economically distressed and that are in need.
Sure.
So there's an organization through the U.S. Department of Treasury that provides monies to a lot of local organizations that are called, they're like the banks for the unbankable.
Okay.
And their name is CDFIs. It stands for Community Development Financial Institutions. So one of the well-known CDFIs in Milwaukee and Wisconsin is called WBIC. Mm-hmm. And WBIC is an organization that really, it will help bank the unbankable.
Yep.
However, you have to be willing to put time into it. So they're going to teach you classes, and they're going to hold your hand through the process. Mm-hmm. They're going to help you do a business plan. And so one of the things I wanted to do is I've gotten closely related to all the CDFIs in Milwaukee, but I wanted to know, as a bank, we've made investment in the CDFIs also. Oh. So I wanted to know if there's other ways that I could be very helpful to the CDFIs. So I said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on the website for the U.S. Department of Treasury. And what I'm going to do is look at whoever's on the board, because I just make an assumption that there was a board for the U.S. Department of Treasury for the CDFIs. And so I went on there, and there was a board of folks. And I looked on that board, and there was maybe 10 folks, and I didn't know any of them.
Sure.
But I said, if I had the opportunity to meet one of these folks, and they're no one in Milwaukee. They're all over the United States.
Yep.
In very influential positions.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how am I going to do this? Like, how in the world would I do this? So I said, you know what? I don't use LinkedIn as often as I should, but for the heck of it, let's see how many degrees of separation there is between the 10 of the folks. So I went through all of them, and it was kind of crazy. The first 9, I had absolutely no connections.
Yeah.
But the 10th, I had a connection, and there was 1 degree of separation.
Oh, nice.
And he, Calvin Holmes, his name was, with the Community Chicago Loan Fund out of Chicago, Illinois. Was not only was he a part of the board, but he was the chairman of the board.
Oh, even better.
So it was beautiful.
Yep.
So I did I had a couple folks that had that connection, and the two people that I reached out to that I felt that I had the closest connection to, I said, hey, what are the chances of you connecting me? Well, I think one of the downfalls of LinkedIn is people accept and don't really know who they're accepting to.
Yep.
So
one
of the two didn't know him, but the other person did know him.
Okay.
And I just said, hey, I the reason I want to meet this gentleman is really to have a better impact with the way that I'm supporting these CDFIs in Milwaukee. What are the chances of you getting me together that I can connect? And she connected me via email. I reached out to the guy and said the same type of thing. And I said, I'd come to you. I'd buy you lunch. Give me this opportunity to meet with you. And the gentleman accepted my meeting. And we met downtown Chicago. And it was one of the it was a really good meeting, and it felt good to be able to connect with somebody outside of Milwaukee on a national level and really get quality information that I could bring back to Milwaukee. So yeah. It was a good one. I was happy for that one.
That is great. And I love that you took the digital route here. And we're going to circle back to that a little bit later in the show. But for the most part, the stories that we hear are very much a person to a person in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. So that you took the initiative to just kind of investigate on your own and then, you know, leverage the tools that are made available to us to have the end result be extremely positive. That's a great story.
Well, I'm going to tell you what makes it even greater is the fact that I don't do that often. I really am the old school way that you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. But it did teach me a very big lesson.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad that I went that route because that was probably one of the few times, if not one of the first times. I've been on LinkedIn for many years.
Sure.
I've been very intentional to make sure I only accept for people that I know that I can do exactly what I wanted to do was ask somebody that I know, can you connect me?
Yeah.
Otherwise, to me, it's not worth the value. And maybe I don't know more about it, and I'm sure people could teach me, but it worked out good for me.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you for sharing that story with us. So large or small, it's important to continue to connect with your network and then stay in front of them. So what do you do to stay in front of and best nurture your network?
Well, so I started in this business development lending game when I was 17 years old, and that was in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And a majority of the way that I have up until probably the last few years is really being everywhere. I love it when somebody says, Joaquin, you're like everywhere. Like I see you everywhere. Yeah. So it really takes a significant amount of time. But this is, and if you add up those years, this is my 25th year now. And it becomes very difficult, especially with a family, especially with children and responsibilities through that. You can't be everywhere the way you're supposed to be. So I've been really thinking hard about how do I become efficient? Mm-hmm. And I will answer a little bit later about one way that I've been efficient, but the one way is going to really tie into the last question you asked is just using technology. I mean, you want people to know that you exist when it comes to networking so that when you meet them, they either heard of you, saw you, or something, right? Yep. So I try to have that warm type of introduction, even though maybe somebody didn't introduce me, because people are very comfortable if they see you on social media that they feel like they know you, even though you might have never met them. So it's been very helpful that if I have an opportunity to speak in front of a group, to promote how I love the city through my social media, all that really helps me nurture my network.
Yeah.
So the other day, as a perfect example, I live in the Washington Heights neighborhood and I work in Walker's Point. Mm-hmm. Walker's Point. And I said, what would happen? Wife just put a Fitbit on my wrist.
I got one.
Nice. It's kind of crazy. I must be real competitive because I've been doing it.
Yeah.
And one day I issued a challenge to a set of friends and I forgot to use it on Monday. So I was like, Tuesday, I was like, I had to do some steps. I was like, what if I just walk to work? And first of all, I'm gonna let you know that walk was 2 hours long. It was very hot. But I made that. I took advantage of it. What I did is, I did 2 days in a row. Uh-huh. It was tough. It was absolutely tough. I should be in better shape. But in that walk, I took my time and I noticed things that I think people don't notice as they walked.
Okay.
And then I took pictures of things that were really cool in my walk from Washington Heights to there, and I tied it back into people that I know that work in the neighborhood, and I tagged them. And I said, thank you for the work you're doing in this neighborhood. And did you notice this and that? And it got a lot of views. A lot of people saw that.
Nice.
So it ties it in. It got my workout in. It tied it into my work. And I think, you know, there were some follow-up conversations that week when people said, hey, I saw that. And did you do that?
Yep.
And it allowed me to just tie in passion, work, and nurturing network through that process.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's fantastic, especially tying in the passion component because – if you enjoy it, you're going to do it, right?
I'm going to tell you, people are really attracted to that. And yeah. that's just not me. I'm attracted to people that are very passionate about whatever you
totally.
Do. You know, Purple Door Ice Cream in our yeah. neighborhood, they're passionate about what they do.
I love that stuff.
So you so get it, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We buy Purple Door Ice Cream. Here's another example. The Juice Kitchen is mm-hmm. a juicing. They do juicing on 17th and North in the Walnut Way area. Manasabir, a very good friend of mine, he sells juice, but he's not just selling juice.
Yeah.
He's selling something so much more. So when somebody comes in and purchases the juice, they understand that they're supporting a local business,
yep.
supporting a Black-owned business, supporting the belief that they believe in health,
yep.
and they believe in Mana's vision around health. So you're buying so much more. So that passion thing tied to networking is very important.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. Yeah. You also said something that I thought was interesting is that it was kind of like using social media as a warm introduction.
Mm.
You know, I think because you have a personality, mm-hmm. or at least you should in the digital space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not so fearful to connect with that person because it's almost like you already know them, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. Thanks so much for sharing that. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
You know, I feel like over the 25 years that I've been in so many different situations around networking, and I think what really changed the game for me in my networking as I matured is being really intentional and very efficient upon my networking. When I started in this game, and I think that's okay, like when you're starting in building a career, I don't think there's wrong about not having intention in networking.
Mm-hmm.
However, don't be insincere or fake about it, right? Like,
yep.
don't be in a room and people know you're there because you're trying to sell something.
Yep.
No, you're just there because you want to meet, get to know people. What you should be is very intentional about learning and not be intentional about introducing
yep.
your own self. And that works really nice. But then eventually, when you get older and when you're growing and your network gets a little bit larger, and then you really want to create value for yourself, then you got to get really intentional with your networking.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got very intentional with my networking and saying, I need to meet this person, the game changed. Everything changed.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, it was really important as a banker. When I was 17 years old, first starting in lending, I was so far away from the decision-making process. So if somebody asked me, am I going to be approved or not? I was as worried as they were.
Yep.
I felt like I was applying for the loan because
yep.
I didn't know. Now, after 25 years, there's many situations where either I have the opportunity to have influence and or make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, at least I know who the decision makers are or the group of people that are
sure.
that I can feel very confident about. Can I help you or not?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so getting to that point and building my influence had a lot to do with my network.
Sure.
So, I would say I have the privilege of being on some significant boards right now that have very influential folks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sit down at the table, they're usually all influential folks that all know each other,
yep.
right?
Yep.
It's the movers and shakers.
Yep.
So when I sit down, they might not know who I am.
Correct.
So I'm very careful to make sure the first couple meetings that I sit and listen when I'm on a board, volunteering on a board or on a board position. But then thereafter, there's always going to be at a board, there's going to be a need for somebody to raise their hand and roll up their sleeves and do the work.
Yep.
So what I do is usually raise my hand. It's something I know I can pull off that
sure.
task and execute.
Yep.
I go ahead and do that. And then thereafter, then I start, when people see I can do the work, then I start picking off each person and saying, can we meet? Can we
yep.
meet after this?
Yep.
And they love it because they're like, you know, okay, this guy's come to a couple meetings, you know, he's executed and it's worked out for me tenfold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's great. So it sounds, a couple of things you said that were really, really good. One was, just being intentional and really kind of being laser focused. And, you know, if you say, I want to get in front of this person, then you're shifting your entire networking strategy, right?
Oh, yes.
So having a plan is really what it comes down mm-hmm. to. And two, surrounding yourself with those that you kind of either aspire to be or want to start connecting with.
Mm.
And getting on a board or serving on a committee is probably the easiest way to do that.
You know what's really surprised me is that there's Milwaukee and Wisconsin are very heavy in, and we have a lot of opportunities to be able to serve and volunteer. So even if you're not on a board, nonprofits or initiatives that really want to have impact in communities, there's a lot of them.
Yep.
Because I've banked them and I've been involved with them, they're so much a part of my life. And because of the fact that I've been involved, I want to believe that a lot of people are involved, but there's a lot of opportunity that I don't think people are taking advantage of.
I'd agree with that.
People are just really thinking about, and not everybody, but there's a good amount of people that really want to up their value. So they think about what's in it for me.
Uh-huh.
And when I switched that, I was like that. There was a time when I had to do a 360 test. I don't know if you ever, the sure. 360 personality
yep.
test.
Yep.
And it was very, somewhat earlier in my career. It came back and it hurt my feelings. It was very humbling.
Oh, okay.
Because as a banker, people were saying, you know, Joaquin, he's nice and everything, but I don't really trust the guy. You know, he's like a, you know, I don't know. I don't trust him as a banker. You know, I kind of came off when I read it like I was a used car salesman.
Huh.
But it hurt my feelings big time because I was like, I don't want to be like that. Like, I really care about helping people in this community. And I had to switch up a lot. I had to switch up a lot about listening, about being helpful,
yep.
about shutting up and executing and, you know, a lot of things. And even with the networking part of things, it was really about when you're networking is just being mindful to being helpful to others.
Sure.
It's not about you.
Yep.
It does come back.
There it is. It does. It really does come back. Mm. I mean, because everyone's a real person, right?
Mm.
So, you know, there's this level of emotional intelligence that I think is important in being aware of, you know, the other person and putting yourself in their shoes, right? So how do they respond to my actions?
Yeah.
But also it's, you know, someone does something good for you, you just kind of have this need to return the favor, right?
Yeah.
If you're a genuine good human
yes.
being on this planet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what's funny about this is that I know what folks like about me, and I know what people are like, are about me. But the one thing that's been interesting when people usually want to connect me with someone else or refer me to somebody else is if somebody has an issue with me, whatever it is like, man, Joaquin's got a lot of energy. Like if he will just drain you, he has a lot of energy. But, and this is the part where it always helps me, but he's a guy that really is connected or really cares or really will come through
sure.
or is really passionate and will be helpful to you.
Yep.
So that's crazy, right? Like, even though there might be something that inconsistent about me that they may not like, there's the reality of the fact that I've been able to show to them that I care, and it's come back, you know, tenfold.
Yeah.
So it's been, I agree with you that if you're mindful about that through your networking, it's going to be helpful.
Absolutely. So we started talking on this topic a little bit. But I am curious which one you find more value in. Is it digital networking or traditional networking?
You know, I don't consider either one or the other to be valuable. I think you have to be very mindful of your audience, right?
Yep.
So for me, as a younger-ish banker, 43 years old right now, but as I went through my 30s as a banker, in order for me to build a significant and profitable portfolio of business clients or clients, most times they were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that I had to use the modes of communication and or networking that the older generations are used to. And it most definitely is face-to-face, eye-to-eye, handshake, you know, that type.
Yep.
But then I started realizing as I got older is that if I'm going to stay relevant for the next 20 years in this game, I need to get to know the younger community. So I'm Generation X, so millennials and younger, and there's a whole different way that's done.
Totally.
And so if you don't think that my example earlier about posting on Facebook or Instagram, I knew who it was for and who it was about. It was purely around a generational outreach.
Yeah, it's smart. It's brilliant, actually.
So I had to be like, and I've been asking myself, I started asking myself this when the whole concept of millennials started coming out, let's say, a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I think when they started talking about it, when it started exploding. So my question was then, well, what in the heck am I going to do to get networked and for people to know who I am in this community? And I think I've been so successful that there's been three times already. The Business Journal had a conversation around what do the millennials think around the future of Milwaukee. And I'm on the front page of one of the articles with other millennials. And I told them I'm not even a millennial. But my friends with Milwaukee and everyone else, she always has me involved. She's like, but you've done a really good job at listening, understanding, and be a part of that. We'd love you to be a part of that. I'm receiving an award by the Milwaukee Community Journal in August, and they're recognizing millennials for their contribution, their potential contribution to the future of Milwaukee.
Sure.
And I told them, I said, I appreciate the offer, but I'm not a millennial. And so they ended up switching it. So now it's called Millennial Plus. So you get funny. Privileged. I mean, you could do this. We didn't even touch on this, but, I'm just talking about the generations. But as I work as a banker in Milwaukee, remember, we have different communities, different cultures. One of our scarlet letters is really the fact that this word around segregation, and people are with themselves and stay with their own communities. We're not going to get into the conversation good or bad or indifferent, but the question is, as you network, how do you network outside this community that may not look like you, doesn't talk like you? I think if I were to say I mastered anything, is that I've done a very, very good job at being accepted by other communities that I'm not a part of, but I am most definitely a part of now.
So I guess you kind of talked a little bit about that. It's like, well, adding the value, the listening, but just kind of proving that to some level that you're just as you can be part of other social networks.
Well, I'll start with that. I think a community that is growing exponentially, but is still considered very small and very consolidated, and most definitely does only with, not only, but a majority with their own, and it's the Southeast Asian Hmong community. Southeast Asian community is growing very fast in Milwaukee, very entrepreneurial, but most definitely they're very close-knit. And so the question is, how did I get to a point where I'm first top of mind with a lot of the communities when it comes to financing? I could be in the room. I was asked to speak. They had a couple months ago, they had the National Hmong Development Conference here. So it was for the whole community, for the whole United States.
Sure.
They have a national convention.
Yep.
They had it in Milwaukee. And they had me speak. I was one of the few, if only, non-Southeast Asians to speak around entrepreneurialism and starting businesses and stuff like that. And I think what it really came down to is, I think first of all is you should know your audience. And I was intentional to learn a little bit about the history, ask questions, and really understand, so that when I repeated back to them that I knew something about their history, their demographics. Our communities don't even really know that much about our own demographics.
Yeah.
So when I tell you something you don't know about you, respectfully and carefully, I don't say it with with an ego or an arrogance.
Yep.
They're like, wow.
Yeah.
So they really appreciate that. I try to know some of the language. Just a couple words it sounds kind of kitschy, but it starts conversations.
It does.
And then also, I think it goes back to the fact that if they feel that you're there, so that a lot of time has been put in doing classes. I've done classes for the Chamber of Commerce on Tuesday nights where only one person showed up but didn't complain about it. I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Let's sit down. You and I talk.
Yeah.
And now we're doing classes where there's 20, 30 people showing up, you got to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
That's another one probably. It's just don't expect immediate returns. It's great if you get them.
The time is definitely a factor.
Absolutely.
So many good juicy things here. Mm-hmm. But let's change up the pace a little bit. Yes. So if you would go back to your 20-year-old self, I know you've talked about being 17 a couple times, but let's say 20 years old. What would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
To my professional career. You know, that's a really, really, really good question. And I think I would do more of. And what would I do more of? So when I was younger, in that range, I realized that in Milwaukee, we had such a diverse community of people. But I realized when I would walk into banks, we did not have bankers that reflected the community. The only time we would see that is frontline. So you'd go and cash a check, those retail folks, they reflected a community. But the bankers, the presidents, the vice presidents really weren't reflecting this. And this was like 80s and 90s, even in the 70s when I was little. So something in my mind, I don't know what it was, something in my mind said, what if you become the banker? And I didn't just say for the Latino community, I being Latino. But I said, what if you became the banker for those that weren't represented? And you could probably replicate this in any industry. So I said I wanted to become the banker for millennials. I'm going to work on that, you know?
Sure.
But I said, what if I become the banker? And at that point, at that time, to me, I defined that the community as the Hispanic community, the African-American community, East Southeast Asian, the Arab, and the LGBT, and then kind of the younger urban, and that younger urban included almost every race, but it was more of an urban community. I said, I'm going to be the banker for those. And so I worked very hard at that. And so what I did is I said, I recognized that there was a void and a gap. And recognizing that there was a void and a gap, it eventually created a ridiculous value for me. It created such a value that it's interesting that the people that approach me now and say, Joaquin, hey, would you like to come and work for us? Because they understand the network that I have.
Sure.
I have a very valuable network because I'm very well respected in communities, in a lot of different communities. I'm not just the millennial working with millennials. I'm not just the Latino. Well, I'm not. I'm not just the Generation X working with Generation X.
Yeah.
I'm not just the Latino working with the Latino community.
Uh-huh.
So that value has, and it has created a significant value for my bank.
Uh-huh.
And for those that ask me, Joaquin, is there a way that you can get me connected into these communities? So what I would do more of is understand who was underrepresented in my field.
Yeah.
And that's finding the gap or the void. And then saying, in my mind, how do I create more value to that? And then just being, getting better at promotion and marketing of that, whatever that meant, you know. I don't think I did a lot of that by word of mouth, but I probably could have built my you know, social media wasn't big at 20 years old.
Sure, yeah.
If you had me at 20 years old doing what I was done with social media, I probably would have. I'd probably be a little bit further on than where I'm at today.
Yeah. Well, it's still very impressive where you are today,
thank you.
Though. And, you know, you said something, a couple different pieces that I'm just kind of pushing together here that, you know, a little bit of emphasis on the depth of your network and that you're very well connected. But I think the most important thing associated with that is that it did not happen overnight,
mm-mm.
right? Like, it takes time.
Mm.
So I find it interesting, though, that, you know, looking back at your 20-year-old self, and you're saying you want to do more of these things, even though you've seen that, you know, the actions you've taken already have been very successful for you.
No, first of all, thank you for recognizing that. I really appreciate that. But I want to tell you that kind of a tandem story to that is that those that I've realized as a banker that are very successful in real estate, very successful in real estate, were the ones that a long time ago purchased small real estate projects and paid those off and bought another one. And now they have had a portfolio over 20 or 30 years and they got a ton of real estate, own no money, are receiving all kinds of revenue off of it. And they built their sustainable model. They figured out the whole model slowly but surely.
Yep.
And they were able to build that over a certain time.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the token word there is time. Okay, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation, and I know you kind of tackled that one a little bit with your initial LinkedIn story.
Mm-hmm.
But who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the sixth degree?
I'll answer the second first. Absolutely. No question about it. Mm-hmm. There, I mean, it's just way too easy to do stuff like that. Now, I don't think anybody, and especially in Milwaukee, but even outside, I've already proven myself that we could get it accomplished. It's going to be a little bit of work,
yep.
But it is. I don't know if I have a direct answer, but the way I'm going to answer it is this, is that I love what I do, and I continue to challenge how I can. So here's the interesting thing is, I built a very diverse network and a very valuable network. And I've collected a lot of data over all these years around these communities. Mm-hmm. That data, in my mind, and the network created, has a very interesting value. And so the data that I've collected, I'm trying to figure out, how do I take that data and become more of an effective banker, of a person that's that really is going to have an impact on how do we have a better city, so that when we turn on the news, it's not so many bad stories about our community.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I truly think that a lot of our success in our city is really about getting people, is getting more wealth.
Okay.
Because the city of Milwaukee now is a minority-majority city. That means more people of color.
Yep.
And a majority of people of color are poor. If we could have better distribution of wealth, meaning more people with more money, mm-hmm. I think you would change things.
Yep.
So the data that I've collected from my network, I'd like to figure out how in the world I could be more effective. So now I'm going to answer your question. I'd like to meet somebody that is working like that on a national level, or is working on a much higher level. Let's say at a corporation. They've collected data all these years. They've taken that data and now have turned that data into significant value and success and impact.
Yeah, okay.
That's, I'm saying it from a mathematical science side, right?
Yeah, no, I get it. It's really intriguing.
So the question is, can I meet somebody like that? So I've begun that process now.
Okay.
So I have the privilege of being able to travel regionally and national to conferences around
sure.
what I do.
Yep.
And every time I see somebody that's really interesting, I try to meet with them, talk to them. I have a couple people in my circle that have a national network,
mm-hmm.
And I've been asking them, and I've been challenging every one of them. I have a friend that's from here in Milwaukee that is working for a humongous foundation in DC and is meeting national level folks that are really dealing with national level issues and have the mindset that's able to deal with the processes around breaking down problems. And I told him, I said, find me someone that could be a mentor. Find me somebody that could help me open my mind a little bit more. Because
yeah.
I'm a local guy thinking local. I need to be a local guy thinking much bigger
yeah.
to have better impact.
You know, one of the things that you said, first off, that's awesome. I love how you broke that down and that you're taking this scientific approach, really. And because really what you're saying is that you're extremely passionate about the betterment of the community.
Mm.
And I can see that in the passion is just kind of bleeding out of you right now.
Thank you.
mm. But one of the things that you commented on, I want to kind of point out, is that you made the ask.
Mm.
You went out and said, this is what I'm looking for. Help me find this. And I think there's a lot of people that are afraid to even do that.
Yeah.
So kudos to you for
Thank you.
For doing that. I mean, you obviously illustrated that in that first example at mm-hmm. the LinkedIn outreach that you did. But I think that's one of the factors that proves, you've proven it with the depth of your network, that taking that ask mm-hmm. helps you.
No,
right?
Thank you.
Don't be afraid to do it.
No, it isn't. And I'm very... I want to get this accomplished. I want to find that person that can help me do that. And I'm confident that it will happen. And I'm not sweating it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not concerned about it. I actually think this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think a lot of people want to sweat that networking aspect of things, but just take your time.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it. There's fun to it.
So earlier on, you talked about intentional and being efficient, but really kind of taking the time to learn from the people that we're meeting. I'm a huge advocate for always learning, and I think as an entrepreneur or anyone in the professional space, You have to be a continuous learner, right? So I'm always curious, what book are you reading?
You know, I do not read books. And you want to talk about things that I could do better at. But here's the issue that I have. And there will probably be people that roll their eyes when I say this, but I feel like I don't have the time. Okay. So what I do is, if I want to learn about something, which everything I just told you about, collecting data, understanding neighborhoods, la, 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 I'm constantly reading information, but it comes in smaller magazines or articles or information. Like I go for the information to get it, register it, and use that.
Okay.
I've had so many friends that are so steeped in books and they're so wonderfully sharp and intelligent and worldly around their thought process. And they're like, Joaquin, you should read this book and read that book. And I haven't read a book in a long time, but I still get my information.
Yep.
The issue is when I'm working, I'm out people hunting, people meeting, people.
Yep.
When I get home, it's time with my children, and then I'm a bed, you know? So there's like nothing in between.
Yeah.
But that's just who I am. That's my personality. Very happy with it.
Yeah.
So publications are probably where it's at for me.
Sure. Well, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I guess I took that approach for a long time and then, I don't know, became a book nerd at some point.
I feel that at some point it will be. And it's probably, so one of the things I'm doing in my life where I'm at right now is more efficiency of times. So as I build my team at the bank and people we can share stuff, I'm realizing I can get a little extra time.
Yep.
Any extra time I get now, it's family.
Yep.
But there will be a time where I'll get extra time, and then it's going to be probably where you had mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Which makes sense. And family is absolutely important. So, there's a lot of value to just collecting data points. Mm. I'm a fan of reading, even though oftentimes, especially in the business book space, it's just someone else's opinion of this exact same concept. Mm. But I like that. Yeah. I like getting the different viewpoints on how something should be done, or a philosophy on why something was done a certain way or whatnot. But that's just me.
You know, as you say that, I think my books are my books end up being people then.
Okay. Which is true.
Yeah, it really is. And I really try to get maybe what most get out of books, I feel like I'm getting it out of people right now. For better or for worse, sure. I think that's really what it is.
Oh, that's a really good perspective. Man. Nice. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I'm gonna answer this probably from a local capacity, but it probably could be true and from where anybody is that we are living in a very interesting time right now. I think through politics, with everything that's happening, and there's a lot of conversation around the have and the have-nots. And the question is, in whatever field you are in right now, whatever industry you're in, the conversation or the impact of the have and the have-nots, those are people with or without, will impact who you are, right? I, as a bank, there are federal laws that we have to be compliant around how we serve both communities.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an attorney, whatever you're in, that's going to have that conversation. So to really understand the future of this and understand how it impacts you, I think will help you understand how you can be better at what you have to do and how you should be networking.
Well, and it kind of goes back to what you opened up with, is that you have to be intentional about what it is that you're doing.
Yes.
So having really knowing what your goal is, you know, I'm a huge fan of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is a book you should read.
I think I went through a leadership class, and I think that was one of the books that we did.
Okay,
I did read that one.
My favorite habit is to start with the end in mind and always know what your target is, what your goal is, so that, you can be intentional with your actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely been a fan of everything you've shared today.
Thank you.
If anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
I'll make this very easy. Instead of trying to email, social media, calling, you know what? Come and find me at your at your local bank. I work for Town Bank. If you say, hey, I heard you on this podcast and I was really interested in the information that you provided, and I'd like to learn more or understand more, I'll try my best to see how I could be helpful. But I work for Town Bank, and We have the power of Google that can help you find that. And you just say, hey, how do I get a hold of Joaquin?
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this. I appreciate that you are having these type of conversation. I even appreciate that there's people that want to listen. And whatever tidbits you get out of whatever I say or you say, that's important. There's not, we always got to be intentional around trying to improve ourselves. And I think this right here is going to help a good amount of folks.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Joaquin for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.